Before I pray, I want to just feel moved to address each of you and all of you together. And what is on my heart to say is a simple thank you. To affirm and encourage you as an individual simply for being here. Because it's no small thing that you belong here, that you choose to come here, that you have gathered to worship here. You and I stand together on holy ground, not just in the sense that this is an important building, but actually what we are doing, what is being expressed in your choosing to be here, to be a part of this church, is to stand on holy ground, is to literally be the body of Christ. You are responding. You are offering yourself. You are uniting together. You are worshipping together. You are belonging and contributing. You are being, as we gather here, the Spirit-filled body of Christ here in Oxshott. And were any one of you not here, we would be depleted. And I just wonder how wholly you understand what you are doing in choosing to be here to be. What a beautiful and wonderful thing the body of Christ is when it gathers and works. Let me pray. Father, today's Bible passage, actually both of them are very familiar. And yet we can miss the most blindingly obvious and most wonderful of truths. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and our minds to better understand today what it means to be the body of Christ, to have and use the spiritual gifts you have given us, to be filled with the life that is Christ at work here on earth. So come, Holy Spirit, and be at work in each and all of us, wherever we are. Amen. And yes, to those of you who are not physically here, see, the body of Christ is a spiritual thing, so it doesn't matter geographically whether you're someone else. It doesn't matter if actually you listen to this in 3 hours' time. You are joining in, being part of this holy and beautiful thing called the body of Christ as you participate on a Sunday and at other times in the life of the church. And before we turn to the 1 Corinthians passage, which is the fundamental passage I'm going to look at, I just want to take you to another passage of scripture, because the writer of Corinthians, Paul, has a very particular reason for emphasizing the body of Christ. And for using it not only in Corinthians, but also in Ephesians and in Romans as his core description of what the church is. And it's the passage in Acts 9. I wonder if you recall Paul's first encounter with Christ. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, Paul wasn't physically persecuting Jesus, was he? In the first verse it says, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, the followers of the Lord, the individual Christians." Yet Christ says, "I am Jesus and you are persecuting me." And one of the things that completely shifted in Paul's understanding was he appreciated viscerally that when he persecuted or attacked a single Christian, He was attacking Christ and Christ's body. So when he says, you are the body of Christ, he understands it to the core of his being as a wonderfully profound and holy thing, that the Christians together are Jesus. So in this passage for today, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul has already listed the, he's writing in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 12, about the spiritual gifts and not in wanting us to be uninformed. He's already gone over one of my most amazing verses, I think in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He's got to the end. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each individually just as the Spirit chooses. And then comes to the image that we were introduced to earlier, verse 12. And in one sense, there's nothing complicated, but there is something very profound about the illustration that Paul uses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. I mean, think of your own body. Some of you know what it is. You saw me a few weeks ago limping around because one leg was slightly in pain. Some of you know what it is to have a heart that doesn't work properly, or a hip that doesn't work properly, or a knee, or an elbow, or a wrist. And you know that one break means your entire life is thrown off, and your body simply doesn't function because it's inextricably linked one part to the other. The health of the whole is dependent upon every part, and one single part can impact and throw off sideways how your whole body works. That's what Paul is saying. And he's saying, just like that, look around you. You know, you may get on very well with one or two of the people around you here. You may know them very well, but then there are probably quite a lot of others that you may not know so well, that appear a little strange to you, that may have opinions very different from you, may behave very differently, may have very different gifts. And it's quite hard in practice to feel and operate as one body, isn't it? There's so much that just we're so sort of stuck in our own body, that to think of this body as profoundly interconnected and interdependent is quite hard for us, and yet that is what Paul is saying. He's emphasizing fundamentally the unity of the church as a body. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and he picks up on the difficulty and diversity in his church. Greeks, Jews shouldn't mix. Slaves, free shouldn't mix. All sorts of cultural reasons why those two are not going to get on. And yet, we were all made to drink from the one Spirit. We all have the one source. We are part of the one body. We are together Jesus. And that means you are. You are a key, an essential, a vital, a living part of the body of Christ. And maybe you feel a bit misshapen or a strange shape, or you think other people are strange shapes, but we're all immersed in the same Spirit. His is the life at work in us now, and we have that one source, the Spirit of God. So the first, actually there are three things I suppose I'm going to bring out of this passage. One is the emphasis on unity, the other is the emphasis on uniqueness, and a third is the emphasis on interdependence. And in one sense you can't separate those three, they're all implicit in the one image. But before I turn to look at the uniqueness, that is the diversity in the body of Christ, and the interdependence of the body of Christ, I wonder if I can draw your attention to something that most of you, even those watching online can see behind me. If you can't see or haven't noticed, can I just get you to move a minute so you can see the figure of Christ or the body of Christ at the front and tell me what you notice. Anything you notice. Yes. Pardon? There are bits missing. That's one thing. There are bits missing. Anything else? Yes, there's no... The left hand... actually, it's the right hand, actually. But yes. Depending on which way you're looking. But there's one hand and an elbow missing. Yeah. Anything else you notice? Those of you who can see the bottom. Oh, goodness me. Somebody spotted. There's no heart or a piece missing where the heart is. There are no feet. Anything else you notice?
Some bits are in the wrong place.
Yes. Is that what it feels like sometimes, serving in the church, that somebody put you on the wrong side? Those two pieces that are particularly skewy, if actually, if you swap them over, they would fit. So just looking at that, I mean, what this passage says, goes on to say, the body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. The foot, you know, the foot can't say to the hand, because I'm not like you, I'm not part of the body. And he runs through the feet, the eyes, the ears, all with very different function, unique in shape, function and contribution to the body. And let me personalise it a minute. I happen to have the feet here. If you're a foot, you may be largely invisible. In fact, most people can't even see the feet. But it makes a world of a difference to a body getting around, actually doing anything. And because you're not the head, because you're not the arm, because you're not visible, it does not mean you are not important if you happen to be the foot. If that's your shape, movement, action, motivation, is something that you contribute to the body of Christ, or a willingness to go places where others wouldn't necessarily go. And you can't say, because I'm not an eye, which is what I prefer, I'm not part of the body. And of course, Paul rightly goes, and by the way, all you hands can't tell the foot they don't belong either. Because that can happen too. You don't fit here. You're not like me. So you and I are unique. What shape are we? I love this one that you spotted. This is the shape that fills the bit where the heart is in the body of Christ up there. What is a body without a heart? Some of you know what it is to have a not quite functioning heart. And you know how it changes what you can do. Literally. Limits it. It's a slightly strange shape, this one. Strange edges and corners. Yet it has a distinct place in which it fits. It's the place of the heart, the seat of compassion. Physically essential to life itself. What is the body of Christ without the heart? What is this is you? And you possess some of those sort of heart gifts of mercy and compassion and love. And you're not fully contributing, or you're missing in action. The body is deeply depleted. And the same is true. I love these two. The hand. Oh, it's obvious. The hand is absolutely crucial. If you're the hand and you're missing, there's something seriously wrong. The hand is visible. You can see my hand, but you can't see my elbow. You never notice my elbow, this bit. And yet this bit is absolutely essential to the hand working. It moves it. It provides the power. It connects it to the body. It may be invisible, hidden away in my shirt sleeves. but it's absolutely vital. And you may feel like an elbow, not a hand. But it does not mean that you are not as important in the body of Christ and for the working of the body of Christ. And if you're missing or you're not quite stuck, one other thing you didn't notice, one of them has dropped. I deliberately only blue tacked them, and not as many have fallen down as I thought. But only being slightly fixed in place, only being half-hearted in your involvement is a fundamental thing that can, from time to time, just robs the church of that health, that being in place and knowing what your place is and staying in that place and serving faithfully, come what may, because that's your place in the body of Christ and you're not leaving. Makes a world of a difference. Maybe you're an elbow. And you need to say, I want to be the contributor, even if it's invisible, because I understand how valuable it is. Because we are, as this passage is then running on to say, whether we're hands or arms or elbows or knees, we are interdependent and we get nowhere or we are depleted with every person who either is absent or doesn't use their gift or doesn't use it to the full and grow it. I think it's time really for me to draw to a close. What I want to do is just highlight what I think is truly beautiful, because the gifts that are described at the beginning and end of this passage are spiritual gifts. So we bring who we are and the shape we are, but in the body of Christ, there's something else going on, because the gifts that we particularly exercise, and a lot of those that are listed, are given by the Spirit. In other words, it's only because the life of the Spirit is in us that we can deliver the mercy and a sense of the presence of God to someone when we visit them. It's only because the Spirit is at work in us, if we're teaching, that hearts and minds somehow are illuminated. There's something more at work when we serve in the power of the Holy Spirit. But that power is not only in the apostles and the prophets and the teachers. Towards the end of this passage, I wonder whether you noticed, it's even clearer in the RSV, which I might read in a minute. Because it says this: and God has appointed in the church, yes, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. In the RSV, I think it's even clearer. God appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then, and he puts them in the same breath, workers of miracles, healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Helping, the gift of making things work smoothly so that other people can fulfill and use their gifts, is as much a spiritual gift, I would argue almost more important as a spiritual gift, than the hands and the feet and the mouths and the deliverers. Apparently important people. And that's in this passage. So if you doubt that you have a valuable contribution to make, don't. If you're absent and withdraw, maybe now is the time to make that contribution. If you're present but not reliably so, maybe now is the time to renew your commitment as we rebuild the church, literally. If you're present but not making the most of your God-given gifts, then decide to do so. If you're uncertain what your spiritual gifts are or whether you're in the right place, then ask the Lord, ask your friends, ask Francis for some course or help to find that out. If you can see or feel a gap or an opportunity, then maybe step in and fill it. There are some even in our notice sheet. Let me end with a quote, a sort of prayer, actually, from St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen.